This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you're with us. Our show is brought to you by Blake Harris Law. You can check out that website, BlakeHarrisLaw.com, and their number, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And it is always good to have attorney Blake Harris with us. Blake, how you been, sir?
Back on the show.
Man, it is great to have you back. It really is. And Blake, we always get a lot of questions, and I promised some folks I would bring this one up. We had two actual emails on this same topic, and so the scenario is now these children are caring for their parents, and their parents are in their late 80s, early 90s, staying in like a two-level house. The kids do not want them to stay in that house because of stairs and other issues. But they, unfortunately, did not know of Blake Harris and all your great expertise before. So they do not have any kind of documents, of powers of attorney or anything, but they know they need to get the family member out of a house, but the family member doesn't want to leave. So how do you help that situation?
So, well, first of all, I would encourage everyone to continue to listen to Protect Your Legacy and Haystack Radio with Scott so you don't end up in this situation.
Absolutely.
But it's not all that uncommon for individuals, families to find themselves in this position. So, yes, the best thing that could have happened would have been to create power of attorney documents at a time. With a power of attorney document, you can immediately step in upon an individual's incapacity and take over their financial affairs or medical decisions, decide where they're going to live. However, if you do not have a power of attorney and a family member has lost capacity, then you can petition the court to be appointed as a guardian or a conservator over the individual that has lost capacity. In this situation, it does require a fairly time-consuming and expensive court process. A conservatorship or guardianship, they can run $5,000 a piece. I mean, it depends on whether it's contested, but generally you should expect to spend quite a few thousands of dollars in order to have a conservator or guardian appointed. Compared to the price of a power of attorney, which at most costs a few hundred dollars or comes along free when you create your other estate paying documents.
Right.
Now, this only works if you can prove that your family member is incapacitated. If you have a family member that still has capacity and they're not moving out of the home, well, that's their choice. If they have capacity, there's really nothing you can do about that. But if you have a family member who's lost capacity and they need to be moved into an assisted living facility, and if you have a family member that has lost capacity, they probably need to be moved into an assisted living facility because it's not safe for somebody who lacks capacity to live on their own, then you get to go through a conservatorship and a guardianship process, which my firm can help with as well. We do handle conservatorships and guardianships.
Okay.
But what we prefer, we're happy to do the work out of the way, but what we prefer is to do the planning ahead of time. And that's going to save the family a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of headache.
No, absolutely. And that's what we always talk about. You know, very few things go well without proper planning. And there is no better time than right now. Hey, if you haven't done any of this, or maybe you feel like you've gotten a will or something like that, but you know you don't have a complete estate plan, give Blake a call, 833-ASK-BLAKE, and let him know you heard him here on Protect Your Legacy. And, Blake, that is important, too, and we're going to kind of talk about some pitfalls, so to speak, that people can fall into when doing an estate plan. But you do need a complete plan, don't you?
So, yes. And in terms of pitfalls, the most common mistake is simply putting it off.
Yeah.
All too often, I have people who contact us, and then some move forward with the plan, some put it off, and then the unfortunate cases where I end up getting contacted by the children of the family member who said, oh, mom, dad talked about this for a while, but they never actually got their act together and created an estate plan. And now the family has to go through an expensive and time-consuming probate process. My firm, we are exclusively focused on estate planning and probate. And when a potential client comes into our office, and they're there to discuss probate, I know that my firm is going to probably charge them a fee several times bigger than the fee would be if they were just there to create an estate plan. So simply putting it off is the biggest mistake. But there's lots of pitfalls and mistakes that people make. Also, is how you is discussions with family, and this is very important. And I have I have a couple of thoughts on how to handle discussions with your family about your estate plan. Mm-hmm. Number one is, I do think your estate plan should be discussed, however, in the right way. You should communicate your wishes to your family members about how you want to be cared for during your incapacity. You should also communicate to your family wishes for your burial and cremation. Let them know who's going to be in charge of the estate. However, I don't recommend sharing too much information with your family about what you're leaving them, because you create an expectation. And if you have a second home in the mountains and you promise one of your children that they are going to get it, and then over time you decide to change that child is going to be a little bit disappointed, and there's a better chance that they're going to contest the will, causing the estate to end up in an expensive probate process and an expensive court battle. So generally what I do for my children, granted my children are only 8 years old now, just tell them that I'm not leaving you anything. And then when I pass away, if there's anything for them, that'll just be gravy. That'll just be some extra good news. But you want to communicate your wishes in terms of how you're cared for, who's going to be the one handling the estate. But you want to be careful about communicating promises of anybody receiving anything, because if you promise that same beach home, if you promise that same vacation home to several different family members, then there's a better chance that several family members are going to think that's theirs and fight to get it. So how you communicate your wishes is also something to watch out for.
And Blake, anyone can contest anything, but in your career here, what do you mostly see when people do contest something? Is it a 50-50 chance of them winning, or it's just according to how well that plan is really spelled out?
So will contests are hard. We have defended wills before. We've contested wills before. There's really only three ways to contest a will. One is insane delusion, claiming that somebody was simply insane at the time they signed it. Another one is lack of capacity. And when I have somebody claim that somebody lacked the capacity, my first question is, where are the medical records? Because if mom was forgetting things constantly, but you don't have any written evidence of that, mm-hmm. that's going to be hard to throw out the will just based on the fact that mom, grandma was getting a little bit forgetful. And then the third one is undue pressure, undue influence. Okay. And this is where a family member, the new stepmom, steps in and brings dad into a room and pressures him to sign over everything and cut out his children from a previous marriage. So those are three bases for contesting a will. And will contests are not simple. I've seen fees in excess of $50,000 to only get partially through a contested estate. So they are they do happen. My advice, I get calls from clients who say, Blake, I just want an estate plan which cannot be contested. And what I tell them is, unfortunately, my firm doesn't sell those.
Right.
If such a thing existed, we would sell just those.
Sure.
But any legal document, yes, could be contested. However, there are things that you can do to reduce the chances of the will being contested, which include, number one, working with an attorney. If somebody comes to me and they say they want to contest a will, my first question is, was this a professionally drafted estate plan? Or was this something that somebody did from home? They did a LegalZoom type of will. If it was a LegalZoom type of will or a self-created will, then I'm more likely to want to contest it. If it was a professionally created one, someone who has created by someone who has experience doing this type of work, I'm a little bit more apprehensive about contesting it. But then my next question is, was this created by an estate planning law firm or a multi-practice law firm, right, one without a specialty? And if it was created by an estate planning law firm, it becomes even less likely that I'm going to move forward with contesting it. And then after I do that analysis of who created the estate plan, the next thing I evaluate is the execution. Was it properly executed? Was there signs of undue influence, lack of capacity, insane delusion? So, yes, any will can be contested. There's no way of completely preventing that. However, there are certain actions which can be taken to reduce the chances that an estate plan is contested. And that is generally by working with somebody who specializes in estate planning. That'll keep the chances of somebody contesting it successfully down.
All right. And, well, you mentioned exactly what I was going to kind of hit on my next point of just question for you. You know, the LegalZoom's a do-it-yourself. We are in a huge DIY society. Everybody wants to do it themselves, but man, it doesn't take long to listen to one segment of our show to realize there are a lot of questions, a lot of variables with this. Every family is different. So when you sit down with people, what are some of the dangers of someone trying to do this on their own?
So, I mean, the first thing I tell everyone is that it is perfectly legal to create an estate plan on your own. And in some cases, I have told clients considering doing a do-it-yourself estate plan is appropriate. If it's a smaller estate, if the individual doesn't have many assets, and basically they just need a simple will to reiterate what the default intestacy laws are. However, if the client has a more complex situation, they have children, they own real estate, then generally what I will recommend is that they create a trust. And I would not recommend using an online provider to create a trust. There's just too many pitfalls, too many landmines out there, which could cost you a lot in taxes, a lot in other types of fees if the trust is not properly designed. So, yes, it's legal to create an estate plan. And I've even heard jokes about, oh, I think those online forms were actually created by litigation attorneys who want people to have screwed up estates, because that produces a lot more in fees than what if you're out there creating, if you're right there out there writing wills. So it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of a cure, and this is certainly true when it comes to estate planning. And by working with a professional, you can give yourself the utmost confidence that you've done everything you can to plan for your family's future, to make things as easy as possible, as economical as possible when you cross the creek for your family.
Absolutely.
However, when creating a estate plan, when creating a trust, you want to, and Scott, you've heard me go through this, what's the big advantage of creating a trust?
Yes, for probate,
avoiding probate. Yes,
right.
Very good. I like to flip up the interview on you sometimes, Scott. Sometimes I let you ask the question.
Hey, I do listen. I do listen.
Yeah. But I got to make sure everyone's paying attention. So,
yes, sir.
The revocable trust does avoid probate. A last will and testament is a ticket to the probate court. So if you have no estate plan, or if you have just a last will and testament, there's a pretty good chance that your estate is going to have to go through probate. So by creating a revocable living trust, you can avoid probate. However, the common mistake when creating a trust is not funding the trust. You want to make sure that the trust is properly funded. And what does funding mean? It means transferring assets into the name of the trust. And the majority of people have all their assets could be classified down into probably three different categories. The first is real estate, a primary home, maybe a rental property. For a primary home, you simply create a deed and have that deed, a beneficiary deed or a quick claim deed or some other type of deed that changes title on the home from our client's name individually to the name of their trust. Our clients, every single one of them, at some point will die. A trust does not die. A trust can continue to live on in some cases forever. And by having your home inside of a trust, that home will never need to go through probate. For rental real estate, if you have a second home, if you have a rental property, what I recommend doing is first forming an LLC. With an LLC, this reduces the liability associated with owning that property, meaning when one of your tenants slips and falls or comes up with some other reason to sue you, they're not able to go after your other assets. So we also want to address asset protection when planning your estate. Not only do we want to make sure that the children inherit your money, we want to make sure that you don't lose your money. Mm-hmm. So by creating an LLC, and often a simple single-member LLC will do the trick, we can reduce the liability associated with owning property. That LLC can then be transferred to the trust. So that's the first category of assets, three types of assets that you can move into your trust. The first is real estate. For primary home, you put that directly into the trust. For rental property, you'll put that into an LLC and have the LLC owned by the trust. The next type of property is tangible personal property. Your clothing, your jewelry, your furniture, items within your home, all of those can be transferred into the trust with a simple assignment, simply by saying that I transfer all of my tangible personal belongings that I now have or later acquire into my trust. Those assets will not need to be probated after you pass away. The third type of asset are your bank accounts, your financial accounts, your stock market accounts, your savings account, your retirement account, your 401k, your IRA, any liquid funds or any money that's held in a financial account, all of that can be transferred into the trust by either opening up a new account, which you can do for non-qualified plans for just regular cash, or for qualified plans, IRAs, 401ks, other tax savings plans. Mm-hmm. Those you don't want to put directly into the trust, because that's going to cause you to pay a tax penalty. That's going to be seen as a withdrawal. Those type of assets, what you will do is update the beneficiary designation on the trust, beneficiary designation to the name of the trust. And I know that this is a lot of information that I'm sharing with listeners. And if you get the general gist of this, it's wonderful.
Sure.
If you want more information about all of this, you can go online to blakeharrislaw.com. There's tons of information about estate planning. And when you work with a good estate planning law firm, we'll walk you through the entire process of funding the trust. But as you select your options for who you want to work with for creating an estate plan, I highly recommend that you inquire about funding and whether that's going to be a portion of the estate plan.
Absolutely. You're listening to Protect Your Legacy with attorney Blake Harris. It is blakeharrislaw.com, as Blake just mentioned, and his number, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And Blake, it is important, and we've talked about this a number of times, but I think it's huge. And, you know, it is choosing that right firm to help you, because you don't want a workers' comp buddy that's an attorney to try to figure all this out and just him do some forms that he's heard about that are involved in an estate plan. I mean, man, it's so crucial to choose someone like yourself that while there are some other things that you do a little bit, this is a huge focus of your practice.
Yes. I mean, estate planning is our primary focus. And this brings me to rule number one of estate planning. And I've already quizzed you enough for today, Scott, so I'll just jump in and say rule number one of estate planning, do not leave money to your children. I know this sounds counterintuitive. I know most people who contact me because they want to leave money to your children, but you don't ever leave money to your children, because if you leave money to your children, they can lose it. They can get sued. They can get divorced. They could go through a bankruptcy or a medical illness. And all of a sudden, the entire fortune that you've spent your entire life accumulating could be compromised. Instead, leave your money to a trust, a properly structured trust. A trust can never cause a car accident and get sued. Mm-hmm. A trust can never get divorced. But a trust can protect money for your children and grandchildren and future generations to come. So what I recommend doing is giving your money to your children through a revocable trust, which will first avoid probate, but then giving each of your children a protected inheritance so that they can't lose their inheritance due to a lawsuit or a divorce. Prior to a certain age, I recommend having another family member manage that trust. I recommend having another family member decide when distributions are made so that your children don't spin through their inheritance too quickly. Once your children reach a certain age, don't go and immediately dump all of the money into your children's hands. If you do that, then you risk your children, your children's spouse filing for divorce and losing their inheritance. Instead, once your children get to a certain age, perhaps age 30, what you can do is allow them to appoint their trustee. And at this time, they'll have liberal access to their money. They can get money anytime they request it. And if they don't get it from the trustee, they can appoint a new trustee who will give them the money they request. However, that independent trustee is going to be there to make sure that the money is never paid out to a third party, that a divorcing spouse or a business creditor or somebody who's trying to collect some other debt does not interfere with your children's inheritance.
Absolutely. And Blake, I'm telling you, the more we've been through this last couple of years now, more people are concerned about, you know, long-term health care and just medical care in general. This is a huge part of this, isn't it, to plan for this long-term care cost?
Yes. Long-term care cost has been on the rise for quite some time now. The average cost for a one-month stay in a nursing home facility runs around $7,000 per month. Many states will dwindle. Some will be completely wiped out because of the cost of long-term care by having by giving away or planning or engaging in some type of Medicaid planning or Medicaid asset protection. You can make sure that a lot more of those assets are passed out to your own family members as opposed to the government or some other health care provider.
All right. And then go ahead.
And then I was just going to wrap up with one more final mistake to avoid. And this kind of circulates back to how our conversation started today, which is keeping those assets, which is planning for your incapacity.
Yeah.
The majority of us will be incapacitated at some point in our life. You are actually 10 times more likely to be incapacitated in the next year than you are to pass away. So there are four documents which everyone should have age 18 and older. The first one being a financial power of attorney. Financial power of attorney allows the individual you have selected to make a financial decision on your behalf should you become incapacitated. The next is a medical power of attorney. A medical power of attorney allows the individual you've chosen to make a medical decision for you in the event of your incapacity. A HIPAA authorization. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your healthcare. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agent to be able to access that protected healthcare information and share it with doctors so that they can make informed medical decisions. And finally, a living will, or sometimes referred to as an advanced healthcare directive. This is a document which outlines how you want to be cared for or treated in the event that you become incapacitated.
Right. And Blake, real quick, let's talk 3 or 4 minutes here, but let's talk a little bit about the process. So someone hears you today, they kind of heard our opening and they're like, man, we don't want to be involved in all this mess when we can spell it all out now and save ourselves a lot of money and headache. All you have to do, folks, is call 833-ASK-BLAKE. But Blake, what's kind of the process that people will go through once they call you?
Very good. So you can call my office right now, 833-ASK-BLAKE, or go online, blakeharrislaw.com, or you can shoot me an email, blake@blakeharrislaw.com, and we will get you scheduled for a free initial consultation. We do have beautiful office space in downtown Denver next to Union Station with free parking next door. However, the majority of our clients for the past year and a half have been meeting us by phone or Zoom. You can actually do the entire process without leaving the convenience of your own home. We'll get you scheduled for an initial consultation. During this consultation, we'll discuss your family, your assets, and your goals. At the end of that meeting, I will be able to provide a recommendation for how to best design your estate plan. At that time, I will quote you a fee for the creation of your estate plan. It will be a flat fee. You'll know exactly what you're getting into. You don't have to worry about any hourly billing or being unsure about how much an estate plan is going to cost you. Once we've been hired, we then have our clients complete a questionnaire and intake form where we get a little bit more into the details, more into the weeds of the client's current situation. And then approximately 3 weeks later, we'll send our clients documents where they can review and sign. Once the clients have signed the documents, we then take care of getting the deed recorded, cover the recording costs as well. We allow for 30 days even after the execution for any changes to be made at no additional charge. More than 30 days go by and clients need changes to their estate plan, we do have a nominal charge for that. However, if clients ever want to call in and review their estate plan, we give pre-lifetime reviews. So you can contact us 6 months from now, 10 years from now. We're always happy to get on a call with one of our clients and discuss their current situation and see whether anything needs to be any changes need to be made.
Absolutely. And I have about a minute and a half here, and I do want to touch on this because I know we've talked about this before, but you've talked about also, you know, you've got to make sure you plan for any disabled children or grandchildren. So take just a minute and kind of highlight that.
Very, very important as well, Scott. And it's coming up more and more the farther I get into my career, and I'm seeing it more and more with families. If a individual has a disability which the government could provide funds for, and you leave money to that individual, there's a good chance the government is going to require a spend down. So basically that grandchild has to spend through their entire inheritance down to around $2,000 before the government will step in and pay any benefits. However, if instead of leaving the money directly to the children, you leave the money to a special needs trust, which can be included inside of your revocable living trust, then that child is going to be able to both keep their inheritance and receive government benefits. So they're not left to beg from the government for the rest of their life. They can still enjoy the benefits of the money that you leave behind them, and the government will still pay for the care. Certainly hope that it is never needed, but sure, if it is needed, it makes all of the difference in the world for the beneficiary.
Absolutely. And keep it up to date. Keep that estate plan up to date. And again, any of these things that we've touched on today, Blake can help you with. But folks, as we started off, Blake said the number one thing is putting it off. So don't do that anymore. Let's get that done here before the end of the year. 833-ASK-BLAKE, BlakeHarrisLaw.com. Blake, always a pleasure, sir. Enjoy our conversations, and we'll look forward to our next one. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Always a fun time being on the show.
All right. Thank you, sir. Again, that's attorney Blake Harris, BlakeHarrisLaw.com, 833-ASK-BLAKE. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right. Since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few hundred dollars for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then, suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
You're listening to AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, good to have back in studio Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods and also from KLZ, Marie Christine. So, Marie, how are you?
Well, I'm great. It's nice to be on the radio with you. I know usually you're bringing me delicious treats here in the studio, so that's what we've done before, is you bring in these amazing, delicious treats.
Yeah, Greg's a great guest to have. He thinks we want him on the radio. It's not. We just love all those different meats.
Oh, I have the coolest job of anyone I know.
You do,
I mean,
man.
I just sample people really good tasting food, and
then we're hooked.
If they like it, great. And if they don't, no problem, but sure. it's an easy gig.
That's when you know you have a good advertiser, is when everyone at the station buys it.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
I have a lot of good business here. Thank you very much, everyone.
And it is barbersfoods.com is the website, and if you'll go there now, we're going to talk about some specials here with Greg in just a moment, but I'm telling you, this will make a difference in your family's, I believe, budget, as well as health, because of all the background story that we'll talk a little bit about today with Greg. And we talk about prices, Greg. We were just kind of visiting here before we went live. It's about to change.
Yeah, our prices have been sneaking up the last few months. And now we're being prepared from our suppliers for even more dramatic price increases. Just like everything else, and no surprise, a lot of it's related to the logistics, the supply chain, cost of trucks, cost of fuel, cost of insurance, everything going up. One thing that's different is I was at the paint store yesterday, and they were out of paint at the local paint store.
Oh.
And he said, yeah, you haven't bought paint for a while. I said, no, I don't buy paint that often. He goes, yeah, we've been running tight and out for months now. I said, why? He goes, well, because some of the components in paint come from China. Mm. And China's having all kinds of issues, which we've all heard about. Well, food doesn't come from China. Thank goodness. We're not food insecure. We have a lot of food here. But everything else about food production has gone up for the producer, the fertilizer, their insurance, their gas. They have fewer employees. Some of our producers are automating. They're buying robots now to replace people. So they were at PAC Expo last week in Las Vegas, record attendance, and people were buying machines because that's how you handle the labor issue, right, is by having a robot do it.
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyway, all that is impacting what we're going to have to shell out for food.
And not only does our food not come from China, but your food in particular comes from local family farms, which is something really important.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one that I've ever found selling food online that tells the story of the food. Most people hide it. They put their label on it. They don't want you to know where it comes from. I don't know what their fear is. I guess that you'll go around them, or I don't know. But I don't get that logic at all. But, I mean, there's some great big companies that market online, and I won't mention all their names because I don't want to give them any airtime, you know. But they're not telling you where the food is coming from, and a lot of times they're deceiving you because, as I've said before, you can put product of USA on anything that's packaged here, even foreign meat, so.
And something I really appreciate about our KLZ audience is that they care about the quality. So, you know, you have reasonably priced food, but they're even willing to pay a little more for good quality. So I know we've talked about this before, but talk a little bit about how you process the meat so it's really healthy for families.
Great. Well, the first thing is I and my staff actually visit the farms, the ranches where the animals are grown, and verify that their production claims are accurate. And for example, the Pittman farm family in Northern California, we go there, we see their egg laying operation, we see their grow houses, we see that the chickens can go in and out at will, they're not all cramped together, then we see how they process them using the air chilled method, which we've talked about before, versus the bacteria laden water chill method, which is most chicken. And then I think the bigger part of the story for me is not just the production side, but the processing plant. The USDA plant has to be clean. It has to be sterile. It has to look like your doctor's office. I mean, clean and white and nice, you know. So I verify personally the quality of all of the meat that I sell, and to make sure that you'd feed it to your family with pride, and I'd feed it to my family with pride. Yep.
Man, you must be busy. That's a lot of traveling.
Busy. I am spending. I spend more half my time on the buying and production side and half my time on the other side of the fence. So I enjoy it, though. It's fun.
Sure. And the taste, I'm telling you, Greg, you know, and like I say, our goal here is just to get people to try this, because I'm telling you, I haven't had one person in a year or so we've been doing this that, man, has not fallen in love, so to speak, with the taste and the quality and the price.
Yeah, the quality is what Marie asked me about. And the thing is, the people that we buy from are family farmers that don't take shortcuts. And that's why a lot of the meat that we buy and sell online, you won't find in a retail store. Some you will, but not all, because it's a slower process. It's not all about the cheapest. Retail stores buy on price. They buy on price to sell on price. And we don't. We buy on quality. We want you to be very, very happy with what you just put in your mouth. And I think you've eaten enough of my products, Scott, to know that
sure.
I'm not just blowing hot air here.
No,
I mean, yeah, the product tastes good, because our producers don't take shortcuts. They take a little longer to raise the animals, or don't use hormones in the beef, or don't use ractopamine in the pork. Things that are allowed in conventional meat, but not in the programs that we offer.
Right. So you're talking about suppliers having issues. So how do you respond to that, and how should our listeners respond?
Well, I try to stay ahead of it, and I know from my suppliers that they're going to have a challenge producing something. I try to load up. I stock up. We have a big warehouse in North Denver that Scott's been to many times, and so we will stock up product, and so that we're not having disruptions. But even though we do that, we are going to have some products that we don't have availability on in the coming months, just because supply and demand and all the problems that our producers are experiencing, not just in the field and growing and on the farms, but also in the plants.
Yeah. Right.
So in the vein of people maybe filling up their own freezers to be a little wise, no panicking here, but, you know, just being wise, you want to talk a little bit about the specials you have this month?
Yes, thank you. We have a great special this month on loading up your freezer with ground beef. The Barber's Farm ground beef is made here in Colorado from Colorado product, and you can get it for it's $71.82 a case on the website, on sale. I think that's $3.99 a pound. you can't buy Colorado ground beef.
No kidding.
That's not imported from somewhere for $3.99 a pound anywhere. So there's 18 of packages in a box, but they're small. So I would encourage everyone to get one or two or three of those, because I predict that by spring, ground beef at retail will be over $10 a pound.
Yikes.
The reason for that is the beef herd in America is dwindling fast. It's smaller and smaller and smaller. The cost of corn, record highs. They culled a lot of cattle this year, and the dairies did too. So we're going into next year with an extremely small cattle herd, and demand for beef is really robust, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. They want U.S. beef. So anyway, bottom line is load up now or pay more later. That's all.
Man, this is stuff you'd never hear about, Scott.
I know. And
we have the insider secrets right here on KLZ.
We do. I'm telling you. And, you know, Greg, another thing I appreciate about this, it's not something where I've got to come pick it up or open your box, then I've got to repackage stuff to get it ready for my freezer. I mean, it is freezer-ready, quality packaging.
Right. That's one of our stipulations when we look at a new vendor, is that they have to have state-of-the-art roll stock vacuum packaging that will last years in a freezer with no leakers, because we want that product to, you know, have integrity a year from now or 6 months from now, whatever. So that's why I feel bad for a lot of ranchers that contact me, and they're great. They have a great program, and I visit their ranch and they have great beef, but they don't have a good processing plant to put the beef through, and it would be freezer paper in an uninspected state locker. I won't do it. I can't. So, yeah, the packaging that we offer is as good as you'd see in any retail store.
Sure.
Yeah. So, thanks.
Now, you're saying there's actually fewer cows. And why is that?
The beef industry is culling the herd, which means is they're deciding not to have more calves. So, if you're a farmer, you decide, well, how many calves should we have this year? Well, they're not having the calves that they – and the poor beef farmer, you know, he's got a big disadvantage compared to the poultry farmer raising chickens and the pig farmer raising pigs, because the beef guy's got to think 3 years from now. Where's the market going to be 3 years from now? I mean, the decisions he made 3 years ago are impacting him this year. Whereas the chicken farmer, it's 6 weeks. What are we going to need to do in 6 weeks? We need more chickens in 6 weeks. Well, beef farmer has 3 years to figure this out. So, but bottom line is corn costs so much this year. It's really driving the price of feed for all animals, which is why turkeys will cost everybody more in the store this year, and hams for everything. All meat is driven by the price of corn and soy, and they're up. So, you know, and on top of that, everything else, all their other inputs are up. But it's mainly the price of feed is telling you, I'm going to raise less animals because it's no longer going to be profitable to do so.
Yeah, if you can't afford to feed them, you don't want to birth them. Right. That makes sense. Right. Never would have thought about it, though.
Absolutely. Again, it's barbersfoods.com. And, Greg, right now we've got a special on there. The minute you go to your homepage, any order $100 or over, they get 4 free pounds of your Beeler's breakfast sausage right on the spot. That's a good deal.
This stuff's addictive, Scott.
Man, I'm telling you.
You can eat it as breakfast sausage, like McPatties, or just serve it in crumbles. It's not pre-patted. It's a bulk brick, right? So you cook it. Or we throw it in spaghetti sauce with ground beef. Or we put it in lasagna. It's got a little bit of heat to it. Not too much, but it's delicious.
We just did some with some spaghetti just the other day, right after I left there. We were doing Victoria's and spaghetti that night. And I go, hey, got to make some of this. And Greg says it's great for spaghetti. And, man, it was awesome.
It's good. Yeah. Yeah. There's a chili competition next Saturday at my church, and I'm making my chili with this.
Oh, we'll really?
Try to win, yeah.
Can people come by, or is it just...
No, it's just for the my men's fellowship group. Oh, you know, okay. It's like bragging rights for a year, who wins the chili. But we're giving away this breakfast sausage right now, too. So if you go on to barbersfoods.com, and your pop-up will show up, and it says win a free case of breakfast sausage. We're giving a whole case of this away. No purchase necessary. And then, yeah, so I would encourage everyone to sign up, and then we'll give that away at the end of the month.
All right. Sounds good.
Greg, I know you bring Scott meat. Scott, have you ever brought from your hunting trips? Have you ever brought meat for Greg?
I don't think he needs it.
I was going to say, how about that?
And I'll be honest. Now, I mean, I have eaten elk and, you know, my deer. And I'm telling, and it's really good. And that's been my primo meat for years. And I can tell you, I mean, I love the ground beef. I love all the steaks and, you know, ribeyes and all the things I'm getting from Greg.
It's probably hard for the wild game to compare.
Pretty equal.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends. My son Jonathan, he hunts elk, and he's got one, and my friends and family go hunt, and mm-hmm. I'm so spoiled.
Yeah.
I have, you know, fed beef in my freezer at home and all this great meat.
I guarantee you, ours is not breaking down to $3.99 a pound after our hunt and, the processing, the trip, the license, all of that, probably about $100
a pound. $100
a pound,
yeah. If you get anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, if you get something.
Well, it's more about the fun of being outdoors than just that. But, I think he did offer me some elk at one point, and I turned him down.
You've earned the right to be a snob.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. I'm a meat snob. Snob. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, we're going to look back on this day in the spring when meat costs over $10 a pound in the retail stores, and we're going to remember that Greg was a prophet.
Yeah.
And I was offering a great deal in the month of October. And so, I've got a few pellets ready to go. So I'm just hoping people will take advantage of it. And if not, then, that's okay. But
and options for people to get it.
Yeah, if they live in the Denver metro area, we'll drop it off on their front porch. They're also welcome to stop by our warehouse on I-70 and Brighton Boulevard and pick it up Monday through Friday. We don't have a retail store, and every once in a while a listener will come by thinking, oh, I thought you had a retail store, like they're going to go through and see bins. No, it's a warehouse. Right. It's a refrigerated warehouse. It's in the industrial part of Denver, and, we're just going to meet them at the dock, like you, and hand you boxes to load in your car. But that's an easy thing to do. And then if they live outside of the Denver metro area or outside the state, we ship at UPS two-day ground. And we ship any orders that we get, we save, and then ship them all on Monday or Tuesday.
Great. And once again, that is barbersfoods.com. And go on right now, folks. I'm telling you, get 4 free pounds of this Beeler's Breakfast Sausage. You can enter into their contest for a free case. And that's a great deal as well. And as Greg mentioned, on this Barber's Farms ground beef that comes out right now, it's $71.82 for the case. And that breaks down to about $3.99 a pound, Greg said. So it is a great deal. And I promise you, tastes great. And Greg, also, you've got ground chicken too that we've had, and that's really good.
Yeah, it's ground chicken breast. It's 99% lean ground chicken breast. So it's, you can't even buy that in the store, really. And we have a great price on it, and it is good for spaghetti, anything you would use ground beef for, really. Lasagna, chili. Have you ever had a really good chicken white bean chili? You ever had that?
No.
Oh, it's delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people make a white bean like a...
I think you need to be our KLZ chef.
Well,
here.
I'd love to
All
be.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We could just have lunch breaks here.
We just need to. We need to change the rules about eating in the studio, though.
Exactly.
We should have to, I don't think we're going to...
You can take that up with our
engineering department. I don't think I'm going to win that one. We'll probably have to do a kitchen out back or something. Or a food truck.
Yeah.
Food truck.
Food truck.
Outside.
I was going to say, I've had turkey bean chili, but never chicken. I got to try that.
Yeah, and it's really good with our ground chicken breast because it's just very lean and yummy. And one thing I wanted to say, too, is I'm almost out of the salmon fillets from Alaska.
Okay.
I have like 10 boxes left, and that's all I'm going to have. So it's been real popular, but the catch came in. I find that a lot of people in Colorado, they don't eat fish anyway. They grew up eating fish, myself included, but... This is really good salmon from a fisherman that I know. Actually, he's from Colorado, Taryn, and his wife, Karen. But anyway, I'm almost out. So if they want that, they should get that this month.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any kind of option for a subscription where you automatically refill? Because I tend to forget to plan ahead.
Yes, we do now. So now on any item that they click on and say add to cart, the purchase options for them are it's just a one-time purchase, a bi-weekly subscription, so they're just going to get it every other week, or a monthly subscription, so it'll just show up. So you can buy, ground beef, ground chicken, and some steaks and get it on a monthly subscription. It's just going to show up.
Well, and that's a great way to plan ahead because, let's say there is a shortage. Those people are probably first in line to get, whatever's available if you have a subscription.
Exactly right. This is that we take care of our subscription people first because they planned ahead and booked it. So that's a good point.
Man, in the spring, our KLZ people are going to be so glad they listened to this show. They're going to be like, no, I've got a freezer all stocked of cheap meat, good quality.
Yeah, they will. And everything's going to go up a little bit. I don't know if it'll be across the board, but especially the beef industry is going to be contracting right now. So I would encourage them to stock up on. If you're going to eat it anyway in January, February, buy it now, unless you don't have room. But, there's some great deals right now on freezers. At Home Depot. I don't know how long they'll be there because all those freezers are made in China.
They are. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your boxes and gift bag. You got some family boxes, and man, I was just glancing at one this morning, and I mean, it was less than $100, and I believe it was called your Barber's Small Family Essentials box. But in that, folks, and I think there's like $95, you get four packages, and that is two burgers per package. That is Angus Burgers from Frontier Natural Meats. You get two packages, 1 pound each, of Beeler's Breakfast Sausage Links. You get two packages, 1 pound each, of the Beeler's Hickory Smoked Bacon. Man, I can hear it sizzle now.
This is why, and I have you voice the ad sometimes, Scott. The way you say it.
And two packages, 1 pound each, of that Angus ground beef, 85% lean, from Frontier Natural Meats as well. And three packages, and that's 2 to 3 breasts per package, of Mary's Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, air-chilled, antibiotic-free, from the Pittman Family Farm. All of that for like $95.
That's right? One of our best-selling items. It's a really good way for people to try barbersfoods.com. If they haven't ordered anything, it's a good sampler pack, and it's less than $100.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll deliver it to your house and leave it on your doorstep.
Man, with holidays coming up, this is what people should do instead of all the goofy gifts. You know, get your friends and family and neighbors.
That's right. Get them some good food. Get them some good food where, you know, and then there's a brochure in every box now that says a little bit about the story of the family that raised that product, you know. So not too much detail. If they want a lot more, that we can give it to them, but just a little bit, yeah. And we've got a summer grilling box there, too, and a weekend pork box for the pork lovers, and we'll be putting a new package up soon in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, people go to the website and just click on gift and family boxes.
And when you go to the website, remember the S, barbersfoods.com.
That's right. There's two S's, barbersfoods.com. Yep, that's right. Thank you, Marie.
And Greg, you also, I know several months back, man, the beans that you guys sell have done well. And kind of a funny thing, the popcorn.
Yeah, we sell.
That popcorn was delicious.
Now, does the popcorn have meat in it?
No.
Okay, good.
It's just for dessert. After you eat the meat, you need to cleanse your palate, and you want pop. I love popcorn.
Oh, man.
And our popcorn is Colorado popcorn. And I told Scott, like, I said, take a package of this popcorn, because they're just 1 pound bags, and put it in your microwave, just in a lunch bag, just in a brown lunch bag. And I told him to put a cup of it in, but it should have been half a cup. So what happens?
I'll have to show you the video.
Did it fill up the microwave?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I open the door. Popcorn is coming.
Flying everywhere.
The dog's loving it, though. She's like, I love popcorn, too. Yeah. But it was so funny. I mean, popcorn was coming everywhere, but it was kind of like the deal with you put too much laundry detergent in a washing machine. I mean, it was popcorn, and it is. And he said, hey, just put it in that brown lunch bag, hit your popcorn button on your microwave. And I mean, no salt, no butter, no nothing.
No oil.
I mean, just no oils, no nothing. And it's delicious.
And it was tender. Yeah, tender.
I bet your house smelled good.
It did.
He sent me a video of his dog eating all the popcorn.
Yeah. You told me a cup.
Yeah. I told you the wrong. I thought he was using a bigger bag. No, yeah. I did. But yeah, we do really well with beans and our popcorn. We sell Colorado. We're the only distributor of Colorado-grown beans in the state. We sell them into food service and into retail and on our online store. But if people want local beans, and beans are very popular.
I mean, sure.
People don't know that Colorado is a prolific bean-growing state. We grow in Colorado, primarily the northeast part of the state, pinto beans, black-eyed peas, black beans, yellow beans, also called Mayacoba beans, garbanzo beans. And you know what we need to do, Scott? You and I need to have a little party where we're taking garbanzo beans and making our own hummus. Because hummus is so easy to make. You go to the store, do you like hummus? Do you eat it with chips and with pita chips and stuff?
I have not, no.
Okay, Victoria, you've never tried it?
Victoria likes it. Yeah.
Okay. It's expensive.
It's expensive. It's such a ripoff because they charge you like $4.99 for 8 ounces. You can make that at home for like 33 cents. Yeah.
Really?
All you have to learn is how to make your own tahini or buy tahini. Tahini is roasted sesame seeds. And tahini, which is roasted sesame seeds, is what give hummus its very unique flavor. So you mix the tahini with the cooked garbanzo beans, and it's delicious. And you put a little paprika on top. You could make this for your family for the holidays for cents on the dollar.
Right.
That's great.
Right. Every time I talk to you, Greg, I just get so hungry.
I know. Me too. I haven't had lunch yet. I want to go eat some hummus right now.
Exactly.
So you guys sell beans, you sell popcorn, you sell meat. Now you just need to start selling freezers so people can stock up on those.
Yeah, except for the problem with that is I can't find any Colorado-made freezers. I think they're all made in China.
No.
And we really do work hard to try to find Colorado-made products. And coming on the website soon, just a little teaser, we're going to have some really good Colorado-made cheese that people can buy. And then we'll be sampling and we'll be offering deals on cheese too. But it's really good local cheese. Colorado's a prolific cheese making state now too. So.
Right. Now you do some videos every once in a while of some recipes and different ways to prepare different meats. Just go to the website and find those.
Click on videos. Yeah, barbersfoods.com. Click on videos. I've got a video on there on how to cook a perfect prime rib roast. So we're almost to that time of year for Christmas.
Okay.
And if you want a prime rib for Christmas, don't wait until the week before Christmas to buy it because you'll pay out the nose for it. There might not be any out there. And then I have other different videos on there about how to get a restaurant quality steak at home. And, you know, I teach you how to get a restaurant quality steak even if you're going to be buying it at a retail store.
Right.
So did this start for you, Greg, as you liked to cook and then you got into meat, or the other way around?
Other way around. I was selling meat right out of college, working for a local meat plant. I've worked for 6 different local USDA inspected meat plants in my career. And so my job was taking meat into the kitchens and working with the chef. So I come see Chef Scott and I say, Chef Scott, let's cook this while I'm here. I want to see what you're going to do with it. So I learned that way. And then I worked in a few kitchens as a sous chef, but I don't call myself a chef, but I love to cook. And I've kind of learned from the people that I've sold to.
So wow. You were a meat guy first. That's cool.
Meat guy first, yep.
It is barbersfoods.com. And if you're just joining us, go on now. You can click to redeem 4 free pounds of Beeler's breakfast sausage with orders over $100. You can also enter into their contest to get a free case, and that drawing will be at the end of the month. And right now, you can get Barber's Farms ground beef. You can get a case of this, $71.82, which will break down to $3.99 a pound. And, get several of those. It'll be worth it. And as Greg said, right here in the Denver area, they will deliver it to you and put it on your porch for you. You're free to pick it up over at their warehouse, which is over off of I-70 in Brighton. And if you're out of the Denver metro area or out of state, they do have a shipping available as well. So, Greg, this, you know, it sounds weird to educate people on food. We've all been eating for a long, long time, but I'm telling you, I think just most of us haven't. I mean, I've never thought a thing about what you've talked about since I've met you my whole life. So education is always good and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a sign of the times, too. You know, in 100 years ago, over half of Americans 100 years ago were involved in food production somehow. They were growing up on a farm or rural area or working at a farm. And then it dropped down in the 1960s to, I think, less than 10%. Now it's less than one half. It's less than 2%. It's like 1.5% of Americans are directly involved in food production. Well, that means there's this big disconnect from where our food comes from, how it's raised. People just don't know. And a lot of food companies use scare tactics, and they confuse consumer with labels.
Mm-hmm.
And like Product of USA. Oh, but it's made here. No, it's not. It's packaged here. And a lot of other things like saying no hormones. Well, it's illegal to give a chicken a hormone or a pig a hormone. So that's just a bunch of nonsense. Only hormones given in the industry are to beef cattle. But people don't know this. So I try to like fix the disconnect as much as I can, because
right.
I grew up on a farm and I've been in the meat business. But there's a lot of information to
Absolutely.
Try to give people, right?
All right. So we're going
to
keep giving it to
Thanks
you right
for telling
here.
My story. Thank All you very much.
Greg Bloom, barbersfoods.com. Go on there now. Get your 4 free pounds of that Beeler's breakfast sausage. All right. I can smell the sausage and the bacon now. Marie, thank you so much, too.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.